ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारदम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 34 टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 4 दशवर्षसहस्रान्ते पुरुषस्तु सनातनः तेषामविर्भूत्कृच्छ्रम् शान्तेन शमयन्नृचा। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. At the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the Prachita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to reward their austerities, appeared before them in His very pleasing form. This appealed to the Prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities. Purport. Performing 10,000 years of severe austerities does not seem a happy endeavor. Yet the devotees, the serious students of spiritual life, undergo such austerities to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, when the duration of life was very long, people could undergo severe austerities for thousands of years. It is said that Valmiki, the author of Ramayana, underwent meditational austerities for 60,000 years. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appreciated the austerities undergone by the Prachetas, and He finally appeared before them in a pleasing form. Thus they all became satisfied and forgot the austerities they underwent. In the material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. Similarly, the devotee forgets all his labors and austerities as soon as he contacts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Dhruva Maharaj was only a 5-year-old boy, he underwent severe austerities by eating simply dry foliage, drinking only water and taking no food. In this way, after 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. When he saw the Lord, he forgot all his austerities and said, Swamin Kritarthosmi, my dear Lord, I am very pleased. Of course, these austerities were performed in the Satya Yoga, Dwapar Yoga and Treta Yoga, but not in this age of Kali. In this Kali Yuga, one can attain the same results simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because the people of this age are fallen, the Lord is kind enough to give them the easiest method. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, one can attain the same results. However, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, we are so unfortunate that we are not even attracted to chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the end of the 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the... We are just about to understand about these wonderful brothers, the sons of King Prachin Bari. And since it was mentioned that the Lord gave them darshan in a very, very pleasing way, so Maitreya Muni, upon inquired by Vidura, after narrating to him the story of Puranjan, is now embarking on another spiritual voyage. This time it is not about one devotee, but a group of devotees. I was just thinking about how differently the Bhagavatam deals with the endeavor to gain highest happiness. As Radha Gopinath Prabhu yesterday was mentioning, and which is one of his very favorite topics, Atyantik Dukha Nivritti. Srila Prabhupada also states in one lecture that all endeavors, not just of human beings, but of every species, is geared, are geared towards only one goal. How to avoid any inconvenience and how to increase satisfaction. Let's take an example of the stock market. Is Anandanand Prabhu here? Oh, he's here. So you can ask him any further comments. How to make money on the stock market? There was one American and somehow he hit big time on the stock market, made millions. And he was asked by somebody, how do you make all this money, sir? So he said, I buy when the shares are cheap and I sell when the prices go higher. They said, that's not something very unusual. Everybody knows that. He said, this is the only way to make money here. I see, even all of you are surprised that is this some kind of formula that you buy shares when they are cheap and sell when the prices go up. But that fellow, he said, that's the only way you make money. There is no other way of making money. So similarly, how do you become happy in this material world? That you increase all factors which give you happiness and you decrease or eliminate all factors which cause you inconvenience. There is no other formula besides that. And how do you do it? For example, people want to drive, they don't want to drive exactly, they want to go from one point to another very fast. So the whole automobile industry has been evolved. Now when you are sitting in your car, you want to make that journey as comfortable as possible. So you have seats. Now the seats previously in the 1910s and 1920s, they were simple seats. But then somebody said, you sit in your home with nice upholstery. So why not sit in your car with the same kind of seats? So your bucket seats and leather upholstery and everything came up. When you are sitting in your drawing room, you listen to good music. So said, why you should not hear music while driving your car? Your drawing room is air-conditioned, so why not your car? Why suffer the inconvenience? But the air condition makes noise. So you have to do something to muffle that noise. Because you also want to hear your stereo system in your car. So, one after another, all these things and the whole thing became so cumbersome that now they are saying those who work and stay and sleep and eat in a only air-conditioned environment, the chances of getting cancer are higher than those who are not doing like that. So we find that every time we try to suppress the factors which reduce our happiness or reduce the chances of getting happy, they spring forth somehow. And every time we try to increase the factors which give us happiness, at least one of them, just like fallible soldier, Bhagavatam has this very favorite thing, asat sainya, fallible soldiers. Prabhupada was giving a class and he said, how can you claim that you are under control? This weather is controlling you, you want a fan. If it becomes too much cold, you want the heat. So this control is always there. So there is so much of negativity, there is so much opposition in this material world to get this real thing, that no inconvenience and pure happiness. That ultimately the living entity becomes so bewildered that it starts saying there is no such place. There is no such place. You just have to make adjustments. Just make the best of whatever it is. That's all. And if some spiritualist comes and says, no, there is one, I can take you there. He says, no, he's cheating. Don't go there. As Prabhupada says, the two big factors which oppose development of God consciousness are a poor fund of knowledge. You don't have enough brain system, brain substance to sustain that knowledge which you get. And stubbornness. There's a very popular saying in Indian folklore, Loka Katha, that the blood, the milk of a tigress is very potent. But who can go and milk a tigress? It's absurd. And plus, you can take it only in a pot of gold. A copper, iron, bronze, alloy, any other metal, that blood is so powerful, it will create a hole in your pot. You can't hold it. Of course, I have no claims of finding anyone doing that. But the fact is that spiritual knowledge is something like that. Very difficult to get, first of all. And even if you get it, how do you hold it? Your brain needs to be like a pot of solid gold, pure gold, to hold that. And we find in today's situation, all over the world, there is constant disturbance. There is always something to make us feel that, no, there is something else which I should be doing. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, one of the biggest obstacles for newcomers, especially in the spiritual life, is to think that there are other things more important than self-realization. And we can check ourselves. The day we desire, the day we take a resolve that, no, I'm going to go to satsang regularly, I'm going to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And we find that always something comes up, crying out for our attention. That's why in a way, in the Puranas, there are so many vratas and parvas and utsavas and various kinds of festivals strategically placed. Like this is Purushottam Mas, Shri Krishna Purushottam Mas. It's a Adhik Mas. According to Vedic time calculation, after every 4 years, there has to be some adjustment. And the period of 30 days in the Vedic month, these 30 days have to be included somewhere. So this becomes an extra month. So suddenly you have various Puranic sayings, verses claiming that anything done in this period is very auspicious. anything done during any charity given, any scripture read, any mantra chanted, it gives 10,000, 100,000, and that typical language, 1 crore times more benefit. At least people will be attracted by these. And Prabhupada very nicely explains that a shopkeeper, he knows that the goods I am selling and there are people who want to buy them, but when he wants to have added customers, he says, sale, 50% off. So those who are regularly buying, they will go there surely. But others who normally don't buy, they may say, hey, 50% off, looks attractive. And they may go there. So similarly, there is always a constant endeavor to attract the minds. Everything said and done, if somebody actually takes a step, which is very rare in Kali Yuga, but still somehow if somebody comes, is at the end of the story, that you just reach the 7th gate and now there you are there, spiritual life has started. Then actually sometimes the troubles begin and you find, should I practice spiritual life alone or should I join some society? Now here your mental baggage comes in the picture, the second part. Stubbornness, of course there is one stubbornness for non-devotees, and there is a different variety when you actually become a sadhaka, you actually want to proceed. Somebody may claim, I am always a loner, I always preferred everything my way. Somebody may say, no, I have always been a very socializing person, I always like people around me, I always like festivals, I always like activity. I was just contrasting this Prachita's Upakhyan with another incident which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj meets, suddenly he is a king now, his father is dead and gone, and he is ruling over very nicely, he is a Mahabhagavat, and he sees a stout, fat fellow just lying on the ground, apparently doing nothing. No job, no worries. So he stops, he looks at him and he says, Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagavat. He could understand this person is no ordinary person. He is not just somebody who has begged for some food and now he has his belly full. So now he is not worrying about where the next meal will come from. But he asks him the same question. He says, my dear sir, you apparently don't seem to have any job and you are not working. How are you so fat? Now normally you may think this question should not come in a book like Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was mentioned to his disciples on a morning walk. They say that in Bengal, if somebody is very fat, that means he is getting good rice. In Bengal and in some South Indian states, the main attraction for meal is the rice, a big heap of it. So similarly, those who get very good quality rice, they must be very happy. As they were walking, and the disciples will understand much of it, because who has seen Bengal and rice makes you fat. And then a taxi driver, he just pulled in, came out of his taxi cab, and he must have a big fat belly. So as Prabhupada saw him, Prabhupada just stopped and said, where do you get your rice? And that fellow was so confused. First of all, he may not have understood what he is saying. And all the disciples were roaring with laughter. So if somebody is not having that, no chinta for money, as the billboard says, then you are very happy. So this Avadhuta Brahman. He is Avadhut. No rules and regulations. He has no clothes also. Doesn't worry about anything. He explains to Prahlad Maharaj very exalted philosophy. He says, I have understood. In this world, there is adhidaivik, adhibhautik, adhyatmik miseries in every activity. You try to do anything, you will find that either, first of all, your own body, mind is troubling you. If they are not troubling you, then somebody else is troubling you. If nobody is troubling you, then some higher natural cause is troubling you. Like people in Bombay, they are saying, this year there was not much rain. And now 3 days it is raining. They say, when will it stop? So it's always, we are always at the mercy of them. So should a person take the path of this Avadhut Brahmana and just stay alone? Now he didn't go and meet the king. He didn't even look up and bother to see that the great Prahlad Maharaj is passing by. He is in his own world. So what is bhakti then? If it is dependent upon the sweet personal relationship between the living entity and the Lord, then why do we need such a big society and big organization and big management and with so many encumbrances, so many challenges? And we find so many devotees, they have taken this path of staying alone. Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. Laghu Ashi, you eat very less, stay alone. Historically, in these previous ages, like we have these examples here, Valmiki Muni, we have Dhruva Maharaj, and they never joined some society to become devotees. They stayed alone. But, there is a big but. The age was very, very favorable. The time in which they were performing these sadhana bhakti principles was very favorable. Shukdev Goswami, he condemns the attitude of some people who want to become sadhus, at the same time live off the money of some rich people. So he says, Kasmat kavayo bhajanti dhana durmadandam. Why should these people who are so intelligent, why should they dhana durmadha? Those who have the false and great pride of becoming rich, why should they kowtow, why should they run after them? Are the trees not giving any fruits? Are the caves full? No caves left? Can't you find old tattered cloth on the street or bark of a tree? Well, if it was 2004, you should say, no, there are no trees on the fruits. I mean, no fruits on the trees. And there are hardly any caves left. It's a fact. And also no clothes, because all these people come early morning, 4 o'clock. Those are rag pickers. They pick up everything. So if somebody wants to actually follow that, how will he live? There are punya druma, pious trees, which give fruits, shade, leaves. Everything what they give is of use to humanity. Nowadays what we find are all sinful trees. Even trees are sinful in Kali Yuga. No fruits. No leaves sometimes, proper leaves. No shade. And what is the use of that? Of course you can't blame them. They are just like us. Because we are sinful. Manda bhagya. What does manda bhagya mean? Unfortunate. Why unfortunate? Because of a series of activities done in rebellion. So, just accepting one small principle is not going to change the whole scenario. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself did not found any society in Vyapar Yoga of devotees. He gave the message of Bhagavad Gita to a devotee, Arjun, who was a king, he was a Raja and a Rishi, Rajarishi. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who came about 5,000 years after Kali Yuga, this time he always maintained the principle of devotees staying together. In fact, of all the most famous of his devotees who were actually carrying out his mission were the six Goswamis. Why do we call them six Goswamis? Were they not singularly important or alone they couldn't do anything? They could. They were all great scholars in their own right. But they worked together. After that, again we find some acharyas working alone or with a few associates. But then when the time came to launch a worldwide, a functioning worldwide society which is exclusively meant for spreading Bhagavad Dharma, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he founded the Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha. And people were astonished. How come it is India ruled by English, poor, beggar country? And here we have somebody saying, I want to establish a worldwide society of devotees. In the language of that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it the new church. Church doesn't mean a building. Historically, church always meant a group of people coming together for glorifying God. So that was his idea. The universal church will come forth. His son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave it even further clearer focus, and he showed it how to use these principles at least on a national level. So there were 64 Gaudiya Mutts. And his disciple, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, took it to the limit. Of course, we are limited by our own understanding of limit means. We are thinking it is established all over the world. That means it is there. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once mentioned that we may send preachers into some other planet also. In fact, one day, this is just what I heard, how some devotees relate to it. He said, that planet, those demigods are becoming very proud and engrossed in sense gratification. So we should send some devotees there to tell them that this will end soon. This is not going to last forever. Now who had the capacity to understand what these acharyas are saying and what they have plans? So, the point is, alone, it is not difficult. It is not very difficult. It is impossible to increase or sustain the devotional endeavor because the timing is very bad. The examples are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, and we find how the focus is, how the focus is given or where the emphasis is put. So the biggest advantage of a organized society of devotees is that things become easy. No one person has to do everything. Like we see in India so many times, there is one small temple and one pujari. He is doing everything. If some guest comes, he has to stop his service, come out, give some charanamrit, talk to somebody, again go and do some service, cleaning, cooking, festivals, everything he has to manage on his own. Yesterday we had this beautiful festival. Would it have been possible that there was only one person in the whole temple and he runs the whole show? No. Would it have been possible if one person just hires people? You hire some cooks, you hire some electricians, you hire some speakers, you hire, everything is hired. So that has no fun. It has no real substance. So this is the biggest advantage, that it is easier to function. And of course, since it is having that material root, how to adjust things, that also is there. So the Srimad Bhagavatam also advises, how do we associate with devotees then? Devotees come in all shapes and sizes and all kinds of eccentricities and all kinds of complexes. And you find this person, this is exactly what somebody I wanted to avoid in my karmi life also. And now I have to, he is my partner now. So what to do? So that's all right. In the material world, there is only one situation where people really forget their enmity and they say, okay, whatever it is, at least he's on my side. And that is during a big war or a big pestilence or a big epidemic. A foxhole gets its name from a small hole in the ground, which can sometimes hold one or maximum four or five people. Among soldiers, there is a saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Because when you are there and all bullets are flying, and you are saying, hey, didn't hit me? That means God must be there somewhere. So, in the Second World War, many people, like Americans and French and Indians sometimes, like in Italy during the Second World War campaign, there were about 14 nationalities fighting against the Germans. And one would say, I don't eat this on Fridays. One said, I don't eat it on Sundays. I fast on Mondays. So the commander had a tough time keeping all these people together. But when the fighting started, somehow that friendship came. Because I don't like his face. Hey, but at least he's on my side. At least he's fighting somebody who's about to kill me. So, in that extreme negative situation, you are forced to understand the good qualities. You are forced to seek out the good qualities in others. They are there, but sometimes it needs an external force to seek them out. Like again, one Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati story, a devotee came to him and complained about one particular devotee, that this person is 1, 2, 3, 4, he gave a list of so many things, that how is it possible to work with him? And he has no manners, no etiquettes. After hearing the whole thing, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked, looks pretty tough case, huh? He really is very bad. He said, yes. So he said, good. Acharya also is agreeing with me. He said, he is there for a long time. Have you seen anything good in him? He said, well, he plays good mridanga, you know. Then why did you say that first? He said, if you think that he plays good mridanga sometimes, why didn't you say that first? Why you started with the negative things only? So sometimes, we have to be forced. Of course, Bhagavatam also gives a formula for good association, how to take it. It says, parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha mitho ratir mitho trushtir nivruttir mitha atmana. Parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha. Like today in ISKCON or in a spiritual life also, there are so many controversial subjects and so many unresolved conflicts and so many unanswered questions. So as once one devotee was saying that when you discuss Harikatha, there are no controversies. If you are discussing the greatness of Krishna, there is no controversy there. There are no unresolved items there. So Krishna can do anything. So what's the problem? So the Bhagavatam recommends only parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha. If the anukathanam, the talk between two devotees, is about bhagavad yasha, the greatness of the glories of Hari, then it is the first step in the right direction, right step. Mitho ratir, and then you get attached to each other. Mitho tushtir, you get satisfied in each other's association. And we may claim the biggest benefit of it, nivruttir mitho atmanaha, the material miseries, they also decrease. And you get pure knowledge. So we will find how Lord Vishnu, in the very next verse, it is described how he appears, how beautiful he looked, not just beautiful but pleasing. Their whole existence was pleased upon seeing the form of the Lord. And especially in this chapter, the Lord praised them for their friendly relationships. He said, I am very happy by seeing how nicely you relate to each other, how nicely you have served me together. And perhaps for us, that may be the only formula. On our own, we may never get the chance to behave like that avadhuta. It's practically impossible. It may mean death. Prabhupada gives the example of the six Goswamis, how Nidra Ahara Vihara Kadi Vijitau. Nidra, Ahara, Vihara, and everything connected to that, they just gave it up. How can you give up food? There was one C.R. Das, a very big lawyer, very successful lawyer. And he joined the Congress party. They were fighting for India's independence. And then the Congress High Command at that time said, no functionary of this party should be a servant of the British Empire. So he had a choice between giving up his practice or giving up his membership. So he thought, after some deliberation, he said, okay, I'm giving up my practice. I will not serve the British. So he gave it up, but he was earning fabulous money at that time. Maybe 50,000 rupees a month or something like that. Living in a palatial home with so many comforts. He gave it up, and there was no money then. He was forced to live a simple life. He died. His body couldn't withstand that austerity. So, these bodies of Kali Yuga are not meant for austerity. So, none of the previous formulae which we see in the Vedic scriptures may actually be applicable. So, therefore, the acharyas have to intervene. And they have to make some adjustments. Because they are so dear to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya himself acted as an acharya. Of course, the original acharya is always the Lord. So he, the last line of his purport, he gives the other side, that even though everything is so easily made, and even though everything is so easily given, Lord Chaitanya laments, I have no attraction for this holy name. Why do we have no attraction? One is because we have whatever little brain substance we have, he is attracted by other things. And just like iron which is rusted, you will find because of rainy season, any piece of iron around your house will get that rust, iron oxide, because of in contact with moisture. So then you bring a magnet towards it, it won't feel attraction. Because that iron has been covered by a foreign substance. So similarly, our heart, which is like iron, will naturally feel attracted towards a magnet, which is Krishna's holy name. So we have to remove, we don't need to tinker with the holy name. We don't need to figure it out, we don't need to fix it. Oh, maybe I'm chanting, but I'm not getting attracted. Some problem with the holy name itself, maybe. You can't get pure things in Kali Yuga anyway. No! Goloko Premdhana Harinama Sankirtana. Prabhupada says, of course Indians are always attracted to imported things. So, this is an imported thing. It is from Golok Dham. This holy name is not made here. This is not a mantra which is from a very fruitive concocted idea of someone. No. This is directly as it is there in the spiritual world, it has been brought here. So the only reason why we may not feel attracted is our own covering. So what do we do then? If there is no attraction, should we give it up? That same sadhana of chanting the holy name in a completely tasteless environment, we are convinced there is no taste, absolutely no taste. But when you do that, then the holy name acts as a remover of rust. Till the time the rust is not removed, you may suddenly not get horripilation or hair standing on end or eyes coming, the tear, water coming out of our eyes. So many people want premature realization. I remember I was in Vrindavan one day and an old man came and possibly he must have given up everything and decided to stay in Vrindavan. And he said, "Oh, mujhe Kanhaiya dekhna hai." So I said, "Well, we have this philosophy here, you read these books." He said, "No, I know one person who had come to Vrindavan and suddenly in the bushes he would see somebody running. And he said, "Oh, dekho, udhar gaya. Oh, dekho, udhar hai." So, obviously, people fall for this romantic notion of Krishna consciousness. That, you know, you go there and suddenly one day you find on the bank of Jamuna, you will find Krishna somewhere or in the bushes. It's not so easy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur summed it up in one sentence. You can't go to Vrindavan by buying a railway ticket. It sums up everything. The physical act of going there is one in a series of maybe millions of events. Rather than seeking in the bushes of Vrindavan, if we take recourse to this formula of parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavad yasha mithoratir mithotrushtir nivrittir mitho atmanaha, that is a much more sure shot formula for achieving Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Grantharashman Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Radha Gopinath ki.